You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
All right, family, we're going to dive into 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And I have listed here verses 6 and 7, but the focus is going to be on verse 7. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter, 5th chapter. Verses 6 and 7. Thank you. 1 Peter. Translation. I'm going to get there. First Peter. 5th chapter. Verses 6 and 7. And the text reads like this from today. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Text reads like this: Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You notice the text didn't say under your mighty hand. Our hands don't have the type of might I suspect God's hands have. Doesn't say your neighbor's mighty hand. Doesn't even say your boss's mighty hand. But no, the text says under the mighty hand of God. So that at the proper time he may exalt you or lift you up. Verse 7 says, casting all your cares or anxieties or your worries on him because he cares for you. Need everybody say that word, all. Ooh, it's going to be a sermon today. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Sovereign God, we come to you right now just saying thank you. We thank you, God, for your patience. We thank you, God, for your love and your kindness. We thank you, God, just for being one we can come to in times of when we're distraught, in trouble, when we're worried, or even fearful. We even thank you, God, that this world, even though this world may beat us up, we have someone to rest on.
Thank you.
We thank you for being that pillow to rest on. We thank you for being that power to guide us through hard times. Now, God, my hope and my prayer is that the word that is preached will resonate in the hearts and minds of all those that have come today. I just ask that, God, that you have thine own way with every earthen vessel in this place. Now, God, as I stand behind this sacred desk, I realize that it's preaching time. And so, God, I'm just asking that if there's any mess that's dwelling in my flesh, that you just move it out the way. There's no time for no mess when it comes to your word. So God, have thine own way. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen.
Amen,
amen and amen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Verse 7, like I said, is going to be the focus scripture or pericope of today. 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Sermon title I just want to leave with you all this morning is simply this: leave it there. Leave it there. I need you to turn to your neighbor, find a neighbor. I know you, our instinct is to turn to the neighbor we came in with, so that's fine. Go ahead and turn to the neighbor you came in with and say, neighbor, leave it there. Yeah, yeah. Now, I need you to turn to another neighbor. Now, this is going to be a neighbor you did not come in with. Now, when you turn to that neighbor, I want you to give them the same smile you gave the neighbor that you did come in with and say, hey, neighbor,
Leave it there. Now, because we know church is not perfect, family is not perfect, jobs are not perfect, school is not perfect, I need you to locate your other neighbor. Now, your other neighbor is a neighbor that you may have beef with. Now, I need you to turn to the neighbor that you have beef with, because here at Spirit of Unity Baptist Church, we believe in taking that beef, cooking it, grilling it, and eating it. And I need you to seek them out. And I say, neighbor, leave it there. Amen. Amen. Yeah, leave it there. I'm not going to lie, this was a hard sermon to prepare for, because you never know what will occur during sermon preparation. God convicts you with God's word. This thing preached to me, but also I believe that this pastoral teaching is also useful to God's people as well. This was hard for me. It may be hard for you, but in the midst of us finding answers to whatever issues we are conflicted with, I do believe that God will help us to leave it there. With that being said, dear family, I am deeply humbled this morning because 1 Peter chapter 5 directly encourages me as a leader, your pastor, to tend to the flock of God among me. I read over this chapter time after time after time again, and I began to hear Pastor Peter telling me, Pastor Sean, guide the flock of God who are among you. Guide the flock who are dealing with present difficulties. Guide the flock while they're dealing with impending problems. How many of you have some impending problems? Says Pastor Sean, continue to guide the flock in such a way that it will direct them to give those issues, to give those frustrations, to give those problems, to give those difficulties to God. Now, although Pastor Peter appears to be addressing the elders or pastors of the church, I find that this instruction is also useful for the entire flock, the ecclesia, the people, the church, the congregation as well. We all have reached a point where we are anxious or nervous about something or for someone or about someone. In the face of problems and conflict, we tend to stress or worry about the difficulties that we encounter. Some people worry so much that they cannot eat, they cannot sleep, they worry and they're so built up with anxiety that the worries end up manifesting some type of physical ailment because they can't stop worrying about a particular problem at all. Yeah, that's why folk have high blood pressure. That's why folk get so stressed out, they may end up having a heart attack. Got folk that are so stressed out that they may end up losing sleep. Got folk so stressed out that they're wondering why they're overweight, but they can't stop eating because some folk actually do this thing called stress eating. I am not going to stand here and act like we do not have a lot to worry about, because we do. We are anxious about the wars in the Middle East. We are anxious about the presidential election. We are anxious and worried about our relationships, whether those relationships are marital relationships, communal relationships, family relationships, friendships, work relationships. We worry about our finances. We worry about our children. We worry about providing food on the table. And also we tend to worry about the disadvantages of others. In this verse, it is like Peter is telling us to simply stop it. Tell your neighbor, stop it. Yeah, Peter is telling us to stop it and take all our concerns to the Lord. Yeah, not take some of it, but take all of our concerns, all of our worries, all of our anxieties, take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, I figure that I would not get a whole lot of shouting on that one, because as human beings, we do not like to give stuff up. We like to hold on. We like to hold on to anger. We like to hold on to bitterness. We like to hold on to other stresses. We like to hold on to drama. We like to hold on to this, that, and the other. We just like to hold on. And no wonder you're crying at night. No wonder your blood pressure is too high. No wonder that you seem like or feel like you're losing your mind. It's because we don't want to let go. This epistle, this letter, 1 Peter, was addressed to the Christians, if you don't mind me being a little bit contextual for a moment. This letter, this epistle, 1 Peter, was addressed to the Christians who were scattered throughout the five Roman provinces of Asia Minor. That would be Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is now modern Turkey today. These scattered Christians were both Jews and Gentiles. The purpose of this letter is to encourage those scattered Christians through some hard times and in their Christian living. Peter gave his audience some much needed encouragement throughout this letter. These encouraging words are all useful. However, verse 7 really blessed and challenged me to follow this principle in my own personal Christian living, and I can only hope that the power in this verse alone will provide comfort, peace, and good news to each and every one of you today. You see, much like Peter, I too share this verse with you all because I care about feeding you the enriching food from the word that we are partaking from this morning. I care about feeding you this word so that you can have help in your present adversities. The question that sprouts up out of this text is simply this. Why is it necessary to leave our anxieties with God? For us that like to hold on to some stuff, if you feel comfortable, hold your neighbor hand. Because generally the person you sit next to, I can guarantee this, you like them. You love them, don't you? You could at least put up with him. You wouldn't have even sat next to him if you couldn't put up with him. When you love folk, when you care about somebody, you want to hold on to someone. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Can I go further? There are times the person that you're holding on to, or even the things or the jobs, there might be times they may be going through some stuff that you can't take care of for them. And sometimes in letting them go, it's not saying I'm abandoning you, but I'm handing you over to someone's hands that's much greater than mine. Leave it there. Leave them there. Leave it with the Lord in prayer. The reason why it is necessary to leave our anxieties with God is because if we don't, then it will cause divisions among us. I'm going to let you know already, I put my bulletproof vest on, my spiritual bulletproof vest, because I know I may take some shots for this, but hey, I'm trying to help somebody. Look, somebody turns to their neighbor and say, he's just trying to help us. Yeah. The reason why it is necessary to leave our anxieties with God is because if we don't, then it will cause divisions among us. Now, Jackie, I just want to teach for a moment, if I can. Look, the Greek word for anxiety here means fracture. It means divide or to break up. Oh, you mean to tell me, Pastor, I've been reading that word all these years thinking that anxiety simply means worry? No, this word anxiety gives us a clue that it means to fracture, to divide, or to break us apart. Yes, anxiety attempts to tear us apart mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and dare I say, divide the body of Christ. We have had so many people worry about so many things. When you worry about your anger, why you're angry, why you're upset, it gets to the point that that anger will translate to the next person, the next thing, the next body, and cause the church to be in a uproar. That is the very reason why, not what Sean Burch says, but this is the very reason why Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 25, do not worry. If this was to be translated in a Disney term, Hakuna Matata. Oh, y'all didn't get that? Oh, well. Do not worry. Even the Bible, even Jesus tells us, do not worry, because our anxieties will ruin us. Our anxieties will break us down. Our anxieties will divide us, and the enemy will be in his corner laughing because we allowed our worries to get the best of us. Even then, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 10 through 12, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there is to be no divisions. It got quiet. There's to be no divisions among you. Now, this is not what Sean said. This is what the Bible says. That there's to be no divisions among you. Goes on to say, but that you be united. I'm going to put a plug right here and parenthetically tell you that the church was never meant to divide. The church was meant to unite. And the reason why we can't continue to come together, because everybody worried about doing it my way, doing it this way, doing it Burger King's way. And God is like, don't do it Burger King's way. I'm not worried about doing it your way. I'm not worried about doing it my way. We are all to be united in God's word and do it God's way. Yeah, the scripture keeps on going on. It says, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people. Yeah, Chloe's people. Chloe is a female. Chloe's people, Chloe's household, that there is some quarreling among you. In other words, that word quarreling means there's some fighting among you, my brothers. And in that text, they were talking about, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Paul. It's like coming into this house and saying, I follow Amsterdam, I follow Cloverdale. But did not God bring us together to eliminate Amsterdam, Cloverdale, and now a spirit of unity? Stop following the past and follow Christ. I told y'all I got my spiritual armor on this morning. I came to fight. So you can fight with me. You can fight at me. You can yell at me. You can give me some mean looks. But I want you to know that God fights my... It's not about you following Pastor Birch, following Minister Freddie, following Minister Tamika, following Reverend Smith, following Minister Belton, following Reverend Shoulder. It's about if we follow Christ. Y'all worrying about who we should follow, but we came to church to follow God. Leave it there with the Lord. Now, the good news is that we do not have to hold on to our anxieties, and we can apply this practical principle in our Christian living. Cast all your cares, cast all my cares on Him. Yeah, God can handle the full weight of our issues. Did you know that? God can handle the full weight of our issues. I'm 290 pounds now, and I still consider myself pretty heavy, and my issues could be as heavy as my actual weight. But what I do know is that my God can handle the full weight of my issues. The reason why there's breakdowns in human relationships is because we take heavy, complex things to one another, thinking that somebody else has the strength to handle our problems. But I want to encourage you is that instead of going to your human counterparts trying to carry your weight, the Bible tells us that we should have been going to the Lord to carry the weight the entire time. You're looking for people to carry you, and God said, I can carry. Leave it with me, because I can carry you. I promise I can carry you. When you cry, when you're angry, when you're upset, I will be able not just to hold you up, but carry you like a little child. Look, it is here that Peter teaches us that when we are anxious about difficult moments, We must throw all our worries, all our concerns, all our stressors, all our heartaches on Jesus. And here's the thing. When we throw it all on the Lord, we're also encouraged that we're encouraged not to hold back on what we're giving to God. Well, I'll give God 75% of my problems. I'll take the other 25% because I still think I want to deal with my 25% my way. Well, go ahead and deal with the 25% your way and watch that 25% continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. Have you ever got so stressed out that you did not want to go to work and you decided I'm not going to work? Got so stressed out that you didn't even want to go to church and you did not go to church? There have been times where we allow our stresses to keep us away from God instead of growing closer to God. You see, Jesus is saying, throw it on me, I can handle it. Throw it on me, I won't judge you. Throw it on me, I'll love you through it. Throw it on me, I'll discipline you. But also at the same time, I'll lift you up, build you up, strengthen you, and give you hope for a better future. We got to throw it all on the Lord and don't hold back. The text says cast all on him, not some on him, not a portion on him, not a fraction on him, but the text, the scripture, the pericope, whatever you want to call it, it says cast it all on him. Therefore, the Bible just told us that it is my responsibility, it is your responsibility to cast your anxieties on Jesus. I'm going to remix. The Bible just said, therefore, look, it is my responsibility and your responsibility to cast your anxieties on Jesus. Oh, you don't? Okay, let me put it this way. They ain't hearing me this morning. I'm going to say it in two ways. Reason why you ain't getting help for your own anxieties because you worried about somebody else's anxieties and you trying to solve somebody else's anxieties when your anxieties are even left out, busted, disgusted, and messed up. And all I'm just trying to say, instead of worrying about somebody else's worries, concerns, and I'm not saying you should not, but before you can help somebody else, you better find help for yourself and go to God in prayer and leave it in the Lord in prayer. Have you ever seen two messy stuff get together and get better? Nah, I haven't seen it. But what I do know is that when you take your stuff, somebody say, take your stuff. I need you to find the neighbor that you came in with, the one that you like, the one that you smiled at, and say, take your stuff. I need you to find the other neighbor that wasn't the neighbor that you came in with and look at him and say, take your stuff. Then I need you to find the neighbor that you didn't come in with, that you're not sitting with, but that's supposed to be the one you got beef with, and say, take your stuff. Take your stuff to Jesus. Therefore, when we take our stuff, our anxieties, our worries, therefore, empty that anxiety bucket until it's unfilled. Huh? I really don't have a cute illustration. But if you could just visualize, many of us have had some heavy buckets filled with some heavy stuff. And God does not, and that heavy stuff, if it sits on you too much, will end up fracturing, end up cracking, and eventually break under pressure. When we cast our anxiety on him, Jesus, or we are also making a declaration that we trust Jesus with our problems and our hardships. We're saying that, Lord, I trust you with everything that I encounter. Thank you, God. The moment that you withhold and withdraw your frustrations, we make it harder on ourselves. And so before I leave this point and jump to the next point, I just want to remind you that, you know, we got to give up our frustrations and our worries, because if we don't, it will cause divisions among us. And this is just not divisions in the church. It's also divisions in the household, divisions on the job, divisions at school, and dare I say, divisions in our own community. Now, the reason why it is necessary to leave our anxieties with God is simply this. because God cares. Y'all should have been, I ain't going to say it no more. God cares. Peter offers another reason why we should cast all our cares on him, because he, God, cares for you and I. I don't know about you, but the fact that the Lord cares that much to be willing to take on my stress, to take on my drama, to take on my anxieties, to take on my worries, that is something that absolutely makes me want to praise and shout and glorify God. You know, folk these days will ask you, you know, how are you doing? And then I know my response these days is like, you know, got nothing to complain about. Because I learned a long time ago that people don't want to hold on to your complaining. But there's one person you can go to and complain about, talk to, make some requests known. There's somebody you can lay your stress on and he will hear it all. That just makes you want to shout. I mean, when nobody wants to talk to you, when you send them a text, say, hey, what's up? What you doing? You got a moment to talk, and then there's crickets, then there's those dot, dot, dots, and the person on the other text line is thinking, do I really want to engage in this conversation? You ought to be glad that God is not dot, dot, dotting you, and God is committed to picking up the call and picking up and talking with you through a word of prayer. God is committed to listening to what's bothering you. God just simply cares about you. God cares about us, and I don't even know how much more I can emphasize it. So instead of me emphasizing it, I'm going to let the scriptures emphasize it for us. Now, my associate ministers, especially Minister Belton and Minister Tamika and Minister Freddie Johnson and then Reverend Smith and Reverend Schultz, they know that I don't try to load my sermons up with a bunch of extra scriptures unless it goes along with the sermon at hand. Because pastor likes to take verses down and break them down, contextualize it, look up the history and the social climate of the time. But when it came to the fact that God cares, I don't know if your spirits felt it, but it felt a little bit too quiet. And maybe it felt a little bit too quiet in here because it's not saying that we don't think God cares about us, but we're living in a day and time where so many people don't care about each other. Why in the world do I want to believe that God cares about me? And so the Spirit of God said, Birch, I need to remind you, and then you need to remind the people that God does care. How does God care? God cares when you and I are tired. Well, how do we know this? Matthew 11:28 says, come to me all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God cares when you're tired, and God cares when you are weak and feeble. How do we know that God cares? Well, we know that God cares in Philippians, the 4:6, where the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What is the Bible saying? God cares about your requests. God cares that when no one else wants to talk to you, that God is willing to talk to you. God cares that you engage God through the scriptures, that you engage God through the word. God cares. Look. Matthew, the 6:30 says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. What is that basically saying? God cares about your basic needs. When other folk don't seem to care about your basic needs, when you don't even feel like caring about your basic needs, God cares about your basic needs. If God can cover the fields with grass, God will cover your body. God will cover your mind. God will cover your heart. God cares about you. How do we know that God cares about us? Well, 1 John, the 4:9-10 says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our
sins. In other words, God cares about our earthly lives. God cares about our eternal life. God cared so much about our earthly life and our eternal life that he gave us his only begotten son, Jesus. And Jesus died on Calvary's cross. But Jesus just didn't stay on the cross. Jesus didn't even stay in the grave. But the Bible says he rose up with all power in his hands. God cares. We have people in our lives who care about us, but I think we all can agree that as much as people care, they have their limits. I struck a nerve right there. We have people in our lives who care about us, but I think we all can agree that as much as people care, they have their limits. However, I'm happy to report to you.
Can I do my happy dance?
Yeah. I'm happy to report to you today that Jesus does not have any limits. I have limits. I love you, but I have limits. God has given me a lot of patience, but I have limits. But I'm happy to report today that Jesus does not have any limits. God does not have any limits. The Lord does not have any limits. The Holy Spirit does not have any limits. You might have limits, but God doesn't have limits. You might have limits, but God doesn't have limits. Your neighbor has limits, but God doesn't have limits. Your enemy has limits, but God doesn't have limits. Your other neighbor has limits, but God doesn't have limits. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Yeah. So Jesus does not have any limits. And the Lord is strong enough to handle the weight of those things that are trying to break us up, tear us down, rob us of the joy that only God can give. So take it to the Lord in prayer. There is a hymnal by Charles Tinley entitled, Leave It There. The songwriter says, if the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you cannot regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayers. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And we can take our burden to the Lord and leave it there, because Jesus took the full weight of our sin problem. And Jesus took it to Calvary's cross. And Jesus shed his blood. And Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Because I trust him and I believe that Jesus will bring me out. I believe that Jesus will lead me out. Y'all better take it to the Lord in prayer. I know you love your mama. I know you love your daddy. I know you love your sister. I know you love your husband. I know you love your wife. I know you love your children. But they can't solve all your problems. You better take it to the Lord in prayer. I know your homie is somebody you used to lean on. I know your girlfriend is the one you chatted it up in the beautician shop. But baby, you better take it to the Lord in prayer. Because when you take it to the Lord in prayer, there's deliverance, there's power, there's a way out of no way. I don't need you to be cute in here this morning. I need everyone in this building to act like God has been there for you. Who's ready to leave something with the Lord? Leave it there. Leave it there. Take it to the Lord and leave it there.